Good morning. Please feel free to grab a seat. How y'all doing out there? You okay? Good. Well, for those of you who expected Steve Matthew, our very own Steve Matthew, to be up here on stage, continuing our series on Toward the Butterfly this morning, so did I. He contacted me and said, I cannot only not only get over the Pennines, he lives in Yorkshire, somebody has to. But neither could he get off his drive. So thank God they've cancelled a marathon here with no snow. I don't know what that's about, but over there they can't even get off the drive. So apologies for that. We will be continuing that series. Anybody enjoying that whole idea of Toward the Butterfly? I am. I don't want to just speak about it. I want to be there. And so thanks for listening. And this morning we're going to turn our attention elsewhere. And so I am the stand-in this morning. Is that okay? Can you cope with me 2 weeks on a run? Some said yes, some said no. You are excused right now. So, yeah. Good. All right, so I've written some stuff down on paper, and I'm going to bring it off the paper and bring it into your life right now. Is anybody ready? So I was thinking earlier this morning about heroes of faith. And thank you. There's one right there. The heroes of faith in a book called Hebrews. You heard of the Hall of Fame. Well, this is the Hall of Faith. And it names lots of different people in history that have done amazing things and had faith in God and seen some stuff, you know. So it was by faith that Enoch, some of you may have heard of him, by faith that Noah, by faith that Abraham, by faith that Sarah, by faith that, and so on, Isaac, so on and so on and so on. There's just this hall of faith. And I was thinking about that, and then I was thinking about the verse in Hebrews 12, because that's Hebrews 11, then Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded. So now we come into the context of right now, and we look back and we see some incredible people, we see some people that have done amazing things for God, and on our adventure, I don't know about you, but I want to see some incredible things in God. And the Bible says that we are surrounded by these witnesses. That the same people that did amazing things for God, it's almost like they're in heaven right now and they're looking down on us right now and they are cheerleading us. I love that thought that, you know, that the Sarahs of this world and the Abrahams of this world, Father Abraham sat up there and he's like, wow, we're cheering on today's community church. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, listen to the word of God. Let us strip off. Now, don't take that too far this morning. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up. And I was looking at that again earlier on this morning and thinking about all of these people cheering us on, and the fact that we want to do some stuff in our generation. I don't just want to read the Bible about what happened. I want to see what happens today. I want to create some stuff today and to see our generation affected for the name of Jesus. Anybody agree with that this morning? Now, interestingly enough, when it speaks here and the advice that all of these people that are surrounding us are giving to us isn't about adding stuff. We're into, you know, addition, and if we're really biblical, we get into multiplication. But I reckon that when they're saying this stuff, it's not like add this, add this. There are other parts of Scripture that says add to your faith this, add to your faith that. But here, for all of this great cloud of witnesses, in Hebrews 12:1, it's saying not adding, but taking stuff off. Removing stuff that is slowing us down. You see, we tend to think, and logically you would think, that growth in our world, in our lives, because we're about growth, we're speaking about growth. And so we think that growth comes by addition. And of course it does. But when we look at this scripture, it kind of has a bit of a different take on it. And here's my point that I want to make to you this morning. In growing, everyone say growing. When we're speaking about growing in life and growing in stature, growing in favor, growing in all the things that Jesus grew in, here's the deal, I believe. The problem isn't what you don't know. You see, we think if we learn more, we gain more, we have more, we have more qualifications, nothing wrong with any of those things, that's the deal. We've got to grow by addition. We've got to grow by knowing stuff. I want to point out the problem isn't what you don't know this morning in relation to growth. I believe the problem is what you do know. The issue is what we do know. So if I say to you this morning, and we've got a bit of calculation here. Everyone get your calculators out. No, not seriously, not. If I said to you, what is 9 times 9, what would you say straight away? There's about 3 of you did that. Some of you started to take your socks off to count. Some of you got your calculators out. 9 nines are what? A few more of you. 9 nines are 81. Now, you did. How many had to sit down for 5 minutes and think about that? How many just answered, as soon as I said, what are 9 nines? Straight out your mouth came, 81. Give me a wave. What is that about? Even though those of you who think that you're not that academic, I reckon you knew 9 nines were 81. You didn't need to think about it. It's like, well, how do I know that? The reality is, here's the likelihood, that you learned your times table at school. Now, some of you have not been in school for a long, long time. But as soon as I said that, you remembered it because you'd learned it at school. Here's the deal. You learned it at school and it stuck. And there are lots of other things I reckon that if I were to bring questions about, you'd be able to immediately answer because you learned something maybe when you were a kid and it stuck. Let me tell you, knowing 9 nines or 81 is not it's not an issue. It's not a problem. In fact, it's quite helpful sometimes. But maybe there are some other things in your life, in your world, that you learned as a kid and it stuck, and today it still slows you down. It's still a weight that you carry around in life because it's something that you learned, something that you did, something that you heard, something that you took on board many, many years ago, or even recently, that is slowing down your growth. It was something not that you, that, you know, it's something that you learn, not something that you unlearn. And my thought here is that there are some things that we have to unlearn in order to grow. It's not just all about growing through what we learn. Does that make sense this morning? And so my question is, what's your 81? What's your 81? Not that 81's wrong. What's your 81? What is the thing that you learned as a kid that stuck, that is today slowing you down, making you be in containment, all kinds of stuff that we could say and probably will? What stuck and is holding you back? Well, I wrote a few things down on here this morning, and I'm just going to pick one or two of them. which means the likelihood is that I will finish in time today. Because I've got loads of stuff, and it's not super prescriptive. You can have a look. It's just a few jottings on a piece of paper. How many know that that will make me speak twice as long as I normally do? So I just wanted you to know I've jotted some stuff down just as I was thinking about my own life, and maybe this may help you this morning as well. So I'm speaking here about things that probably we need to unlearn. Wow. Tell us something we don't know so that we can gain information and knowledge in addition. No, I'm going to tell you some stuff that probably you need to unlearn. Is that okay? Let me start with this one. Some of us, I think, need to unlearn our belief about God. And I added one on the end of that, and yourself. Not that you think you're God, but you know what I mean. Some of us need to unlearn what we think about God. We can have this understanding of God all our life that's not healthy. And that actually isn't right according to God himself. You see, last week I started the show by saying, God is love. God is love. And yet, there are some of us that we live our lives like he isn't love. That he is this person that maybe because of the upbringing we have had, maybe because of the church community we were brought up in, maybe because of the school that we went to, and maybe because of flawed theology, whatever reason that we grow up believing that God is something that he's not, that God wants to catch us out. Stop living like God wants to catch you out. God, stop living like God's not for you. Stop living like God's trying to punish you. Is this making sense? Stop living like that person told you God is like this, and if you don't do this, God will hurt you. Who told you that stuff? You see, the God that I serve and the God that I love loves me. The God that I love and the God that I serve, he is for me. His favor is on my life. I don't have to get up every morning and say, hey, God, you still love me? Because God loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I'm saying it, not singing it. No. I'll let somebody else do that. And not unless Isaac would sing it with me. If Isaac would sing it with me, we'd sing it all day together. He's not running up on the stage right now, therefore, I'm not going to force him. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying. Some of us need to unlearn what we think about God. Because we have a wrong understanding sometimes, a misrepresentation of God. My point is, God's for you, okay? He's for you. And you can't turn him against you. So some of you feel right now that, well, God's not for me because, you know what, I promised him some stuff and I've not lived like I said I would live. God still loves you. Well, do you know what? I failed miserably and I kind of did my own thing. Really, I turned from God and, you know, I went this direction and I was following at one time and then I made this choice and I made that choice and you know, three marriages later and bankruptcy and all kinds of stuff that came into my life and God, well, how can you still love me? Do you know what? He still loves you. How extraordinary that the love of God is so big that he would still love us. Even when we stop loving ourselves. And that's where the yourself thing comes in. Well, God, I don't really think much about myself. Some people really didn't help me with that when I was a kid, when some of the words that they spoke over my life. You know, some of you need to unlearn some of the words that have been spoken over your life. Stuff that was never true. They said it as truth. It was never true. God had greater plans for you. Book of Jeremiah tells us that. Come on, 29:11, isn't it? That his plans, he's got plans for you. But we don't live like he's got plans for us. Sometimes we try and live like we're trying to impress him or just gain his love. Lord, love me. If I work harder, Lord, will you love me? God, if I can do things better, God, will you love me? God says, I love you anyway. Whether you serve me or whether you choose to do your own selfish thing, I'll still love you. Wow. Wow. And there's something about unconditional love going on there. That whatever I say, whatever I do, I just can't turn God's love against me. Some of you need to hear that. In fact, you know what? We all need to hear that. God loves us. It's quiet in here, but it's okay. All right, I'm trying to think if I've said enough on that, because I've no notes, you see, so. So I just want you to know that some of us need to unlearn what we think about God and what we think God is. Because he's a father, a true father, a loving father, a good, good father. Come on. Your, experience of father may not be really good. But I want to tell you, God's a true father. He's a good, good father. Maybe not like you comparing him to some other father. He's not like that. He's a good father. And he's for you. And the backside of that, of course, is what we think about ourselves. Some of us need to unlearn about what we're thinking about ourselves. Do you know what? I think we need to learn to appreciate us like God loves us. You know, if I said to you, oh, love yourself. No, a lot of us do that too much anyway, but you know what I mean? I think we should love ourselves in the sense of we should start seeing ourselves like God sees us. Which I can't do. It's like God is like my mum. I can't do any wrong for my mum. And if I do, she'll not tell you. You try and criticize me when my mum's around. My mum was driving past this building many, many years ago, and she was on a bus. Just came into my head. She was on a bus, and she sat upstairs, and there were some people. This is before we'd done any of the building work, and it's a long, 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 long time ago. There was some rubbish flying around the town about us, and some, I nearly said two women. It was probably two men, because they're the only people who gossip, and there were some people on the bus anyway, and they, and at that point the wheels weren't going round and round. It was stood outside. There was a bus stop outside, and these people were nattering. Oh, they've gone broke, you know them. They're in so much debt. They've lost it. Guess who put them right? Guess who'd been into Wigan shopping on that day? My mum. See. I'm giving you the illustration of a mum because mums protect their babies. They do. Right, wrong, or indifference. Like, you know, their kid's always the best looking kid. You know, they can't do it. And all I'm saying is that sometimes we need to see ourselves like God sees us. And stop thinking of yourself less than he's thinking because some numpty came and told you something that was a lie and you've lived it for most of your life. And taken it on board and thought, I am rubbish. I am. That person said it. And you can still hear their voice now. Do you know what? I think we probably need to listen to what God says a bit more. Because his love's unconditional. And theirs was very conditional. Okay. Let's move on. What else did I write down? Okay. I wrote this. You know, some of us need to unlearn a sense of having to prove something in life. Does that make sense? Having a sense of having to prove something in life. Here we go. I might come back to that. No, I won't. All right. So, I think that, yeah, we need to unlearn this thought that, you know, my life is about proving something to somebody else. Because I think we can live like that sometimes, whether that is to a sibling, to a mum, to a father. I think sometimes we're living our lives now like we're just trying to prove something. Does that make sense? Do you want me to tell you a bit more? Thanks. Do you know, it seems apparent that some of us are probably living still trying to prove something to someone that's been dead 20 years. How scary is that? That, and the only reason I'm saying these things is because God wants us in freedom. He doesn't carry this big expectation, you know. He's believing for the best for you and wants incredible stuff for you, but he's not got this false level of expectation over your life. But some of us live like we're trying to prove something to others. So let me tell you something. If I can. So, a few years ago, I was just having a bit of time with the boss. That's not Helen, that's Jesus. And I was just spending some time in his presence. And I forget how it happened, but it was almost like God said, and God's not speaking to me every 2 minutes. Okay, don't get this idea that Dave just must be hearing from God all the time, because it doesn't happen like that. But God does speak. And if we're listening, you know, he can tell us some stuff. So he said to me, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "What? What are you doing?" "So I'm building your kingdom." You know, like, "I'm doing what I can. I'm doing your will. I'm, you know, the kind of stuff that you would say that if God, you know, I'm trying to do my best. I'm all that. What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I've just said it, Lord. What are you doing it for?" "So I'm doing it for you, right? You know, that's the general idea." Ever sarcastic with God? It's like, "You know this, Lord. You are omniscient. You know, why do I need to be telling you this, Lord? You know. What are you trying to prove, Dave?" "What? You kidding me? You serious? Have you ever asked God if you're serious? Huh? Are you serious? Would you dare ask God that? Are you serious, God?" Like, "God, have you never seen Bruce Almighty? Are you serious, God?" He said, "I'm deadly serious. What are you doing it for? And what are you trying to prove? Who are you trying to prove it to?" I said, "I'm not trying to prove it to anybody. I'm just trying to serve you." He said, "Think again." Oh. So I thought a bit, and my dad came into my head. He's here this morning. I better be careful what I say. He's got his hearing aids in and he's deadly. So it's like, "Are you trying to prove something?" I said, not till you just told me, God, no. And here's my point with this. I had to have a whole time of saying, "God, if I am doing what I'm doing, if I am seeking to build what I'm seeking to build for any other reason than for your kingdom and for your glory, I lay it down right now." Now, for those of you who have got parents, you'll know the level of emotion that that came with. And I'm just trying to hold it together now, you know, because I can't. And but I just wanted you to know that sometimes God challenges our motivation and really questions why you're doing what you're doing. And I thought, God, if there's any thought of that in this, that I would seriously use your people as a guinea pig to prove my father wrong on something, that's not my heart. And that's not what I'm about. So I got on my knees and I just laid it before him. That was it. But it meant something. You understand what I mean? It meant something. And so what I think is, you know, for those of you that don't know, you might be in for the first time, you might have been coming for a long time. You may not know that my father led this church for 30-odd years before I led it. So you might not know this either, that we don't see everything exactly the same. You know, we don't agree on everything. You may agree with your father or did with everything he said. We haven't. The interesting thing is that I was just glad to be part of his gig when he led here. I was glad for that. I'm even more glad that he's here for mine. Yeah, give it up for him. So I just want to not want to overplay the story. I just want to let you know that God sometimes challenges your motivation. You know, and some of us, whilst I'm like, God, well, if there's any of that, I lay it before you. And God, that's not my heart, but I want to move away from that because I'm not living my life trying to prove something. You know, whether I believe I'm right, whether I believe I'm wrong, I'm not trying to prove anything through somebody else and using your people as a guinea pig. So I'm saying to you, there's my openness, there's my story, what's yours? What's yours? I've just shared mine in front of a few hundred people. What's yours? What's the thing that's stopping you? What's the thing that's holding you back? What's the thing that you need to unlearn that you don't have to prove your life because of what somebody else did? And harder, what they didn't do for you. Who they weren't for you. Does this make sense? You don't have to live your life trying to prove that. I'll prove them wrong. I'll make something of my life. They were nothing. Whew. You don't have to do that. Your yoke is easy. Your burden's light. When Jesus is king of my life, I can live my life in liberty. I can live my life in freedom. I don't have to prove a thing. Oh, doesn't that make you feel like you can just live for Jesus and not have to prove anything? Like, come on. All right, I'll do one more. I've got loads on here. It's better when I don't prepare. Don't say yes. Do you know how long it takes me to do one of these normally? Don't say yes. All right, I'll do one more. So we need to unlearn what our belief is, our false belief about God sometimes and about ourselves. That was point one, I think. We need to unlearn this sense of having to prove something in our life to others. Whatever that may be, whether that's a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, a friend, an enemy, come on. You don't have to do it. You don't have to live that way. It's a choice. And the third thing is that, because I'll make it a three-point sermon, then it looks like I've prepared it. Unlearn, I love this one. This is me all over. Unlearn the rule book. Unlearn Unlearn the rule book. You can't do it that way, says who? Says who? Says the religious Pharisees of the church. Says the Bible. Well, read it to me then. Tell me what it says. I love that the Word of God is full of grace and truth. It's the most liberating book. The most liberating set of stories. It's not a book of legalism. It's not a book of rules. But what do I have to keep if I come to Jesus? What have I got to do? What can I do? What can't I do? Wrong question. Jesus liberates your life. He doesn't want to contain you and put you in a cage. People who are truly liberated in Christ should have something about their aura, their life, their personality, what they do, what they don't do, that should be so attractive to people, whoever they are. Throw away the rule book that says we cannot do church this way. We cannot pioneer that because nobody else has done it. That's what a pioneer does. So throw away the rule book. Am I saying, oh, well, I just have absolute license to live as you like? No, God gives us liberty to live a life in Christ. That I believe is the most exciting thing you can have if you give your all to it. The worst you can do is have a foot in each camp. You know, well, I love Jesus, but I'm doing my own thing. Doesn't work. That's principle. Nothing to do with rules. That's principle. I wrote this that I read a long, long time ago. Some of you need to unlearn that rule book. And then get this, you need to then know your limitations and ignore them. How about that? Because all the stuff that we need to unlearn keeps us in containment. So we go through all of our life thinking, my limitations, I can't do this, I can't do that. There are people in this church community that recognize their limitations, they ignore them, and they do some incredible things for God that people said as a kid to them, you will never do because of your limitations. You're here this morning. You're here. Because you threw away the rule book that somebody put on your life. And you chose to believe the words of Jesus over your life. Wow. I love it.